and welcome to Rockstar Podcast, episode 0027. Hi, Adam.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right. Today's my version of the Daily Grind is with Adam from, well, maybe you shouldn't tell people where you're from until let's see what you end up saying.
I don't know. I could ruin my reputation on this, I guess, huh?
You've probably done it just by putting yourself on this. Adam with AJH Entertainment, right?
That is it.
All right. What are you doing today? It's a Friday. You don't have gigs? What's going on?
It's a Friday. I'm preparing for the wonderful storm in March.
Yes.
Believe it or not, I'm kind of stepping up designing something right now.
Maybe we'll use the word design loosely.
I'm not designing anything really. I'm typing up an email in regards to my DJ market, and putting a little flyer together of pictures to show what these new enhancements that we call sparklers, to show venues that they're actually safe and they're not going to cause a fire or burn down the hall, you know? So some companies in the area have invested in him, some invested in China ones, some invested in the ones that are still from China. A company just put their name on it, but, they're safe to use, and we're trying to encourage them at venues so we can still make money, you know?
Okay, so in about 2 years, I'm going to be able to buy photo booths and sparklers for $12 from about 100 DJs in New Jersey.
You got it, baby.
Yeah. Okay, so you're right, and the email is going to who again?
As these new enhancements come about, people are very uneducated about the actual, systems that we buy, such as, when we first introduced Dancing on the Clouds or we introduced CO2 guns or anything like that, So obviously, with education and getting people a little bit familiar than just seeing a picture and not knowing exactly what it is, this is going to some venues that we work at to get them a little bit more familiar of some products that we do offer.
Talk about how much you hate doing mitzvahs. Tell the truth. Go ahead. Nobody's listening, I promise.
How much do I hate? I love doing mitzvahs.
God's sake.
I'm not going to lie to you. No, I'm not going to lie to you. I love doing bar and bat mitzvahs. I actually, if you put me in a room of wedding DJs and you put me in a room of, let's just say guys, that are in this business, I would say that I totally enjoy probably doing mitzvahs. More than I do weddings, believe it or not.
Right. Okay. I'll believe it or not.
Well, possibly. No, believe it. Believe it. Believe
okay.
it.
Okay. And why? Well, weddings are programmed. Mitzvahs are just 4 hours of chaos.
Correct.
And there are two types of mitzvahs. There is we want poker tables and games, and it's a daytime mitzvah. And then there's the Golden Globes, Tony Award style mitzvahs, which are usually at night where they don't want anything to do with games there. And they just want probably mostly hip hop for 4 hours.
I think a mitzvah client is you kind of went there, mitzvahs have evolved and changed over the course of, I would say, 5 years. An afternoon event, obviously at a banquet hall is cheaper. For a DJ entertainment service, we don't flex our rates based on an afternoon or an evening. They're kind of, the standard same, just because of our company popularity. I would say for an afternoon event, a lot of our clients are getting the discounted event hall rates, so they still want that evening kind of flair and, attitude and high energy. But I would say the games and, the extra entertainment that we're offering in an afternoon and also in an evening are kind of the same, they're not really more game gear just for an afternoon and just more game geared for an evening. They're kind of similar. So I would say back in the day, yes, an afternoon would be more of like a luncheon and that kind of thing and very low energy. But now they're just becoming more standardized, and this is how a standard mitzvah runs.
So when I used to DJ and I used to do a mitzvah, I would look at one thing. And it'll sound creepy, but it's not intended to sound creepy.
The party motivators, the girl party motivators.
No. No, that's creepy. Congratulations on that. No, I would in the same line, I would look and I would say, how many girls are here under the age of 15? And if the ratio or percentage was less than 50%, I would cry. Because boys, in general, now I understand you're going to say, well, I'll get them up and dance. But I'm saying in general, mm-hmm. it was always better to have more girls at the mitzvah because they will dance less. You know, the boys are waiting on the side for the slow song that they're at a prom in some cases. So that was like the first thing, like out of everything, I didn't care if it was in the morning, whenever it was, but to have more females there always made the party at least start out better. So I guess you going in line with the party motivators. For boys, it's better to have 20 party motivators, whereas for a girl mitzvah, you may only need zero, even though they may help.
Yeah, of course. You know, it really helps. It also helps when the guest of honor is actually into their, like when they actually want to be at their event, you know?
Yeah. When they're walking out, right, and they're like, I don't dance. I'm doing an invitation for a mitzvah, and the client, they're not even having a DJ because the kid doesn't want to dance. He just wants to have games and stuff.
Yeah. Or it's just mommy and daddy's party and they're inviting all their friends and we're going to invite, you know, a ton of kids on a bus and they're going to come and, you know, either A, be on their cell phone or just be wild bunch of, you know, brats.
The problem I ran into, I would remember when it was more about adults for the party was the music choices because obviously you would go with, you know, you'd even start out with like sometimes even like doo-wop type stuff or run around too just to start it.
Yeah.
And then the kids would sit there, and it was very obvious. So the kids needed stuff to do, and, you know, so sometimes, more often than not, though, it was just generally a good party mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, sometimes, like I guess like weddings. Well, yeah.
I also think that in general, and if you're talking about events, the dynamic, but also the age group and the popularity of music these days are kind of all across the board. I don't think, I know then when I was sitting down with couples or parents or whoever it may be back in the day, we were always talking about set lists,
right?
You know, like kind of like how a band would play, you know.
When you say set list, do you mean like a parent's set in a sense versus then going to a kid's set?
I would say normally like how a band would play back in like the 80s and 90s, you know, because primarily there were just bands and DJs were not even there, you know. Right. A DJ played in between a band,
yes.
You know. You know, but now the bands are hiring their own, you know, the lead singer is now the DJ, you know.
Yes.
What I mean?
So, yes.
So bands used to play, I mean, listen, as you know, they would do 50s, they would do 60s, then they would kind of, you know, creep into the 70s disco, go into 80s rock, and then they would play kind of a mix of music from there. You know, and I think that a lot of people are kind of stuck in that realm of this is how parties still work in that kind of like 50s, 60s, 70s. I don't think I'm even creeping into the 50s or 60s as much as I am, you know, starting with our 70s, 80s and 90s kind of genres now, because this is the audience that we're really playing for. You know, if it was my grandmother's party, we would kind of be in like the 40s and 50s, you know.
Gotcha.
So I just think that the age range has changed. We've become a younger group of people in this world, you know. And you know, I know my grandmother is listening to the stuff that's on the radio now, you know. And she's enjoying it. So
well, there's also, at least in the Jersey New York market, it's hard to find a non-current radio station, and older folk don't have any kind of Spotify.
Oh, they don't have anything on. They don't have anything on their.
So the 106.7 locally that we grew up with that had music from the 60s and 70s is now basically the music when they were parents from the 80s and 90s on some level. Are you taking any? How are you handling the client that you just know is not right? Are you giving it to like your lowest DJ? Are you not taking the job? Or you do you run into that at all? Or do you just say everybody's cash is green?
I think we've kind of established ourselves as a company that really, you know, has a certain client and a certain clientele. And we are looking for that client that kind of meshes with us, that we would what's the word I'm looking for? Obviously nobody wants a cheap client, you know, and nobody never wants to say no to a client.
Well, if it's a Monday afternoon mitzvah, you might take it, but if it's traditionally,
course, you know, traditionally, you know, a mitzvah should start off and I want to be loud and clear on this, you know, a mitzvah should be starting off at least at $3,500, you know?
Okay.
And that's including an MC, a DJ, dancer, some kind of lighting, some kind of staging and giveaways, you know, with a package that looks like that. If you're going lower, you're killing the market, honestly.
Unless you're in Boise, Idaho, which maybe that's the cost of a house. But that's, and no offense to my Boise, Idaho
and
fans.
And I'm talking more of the New York, Jersey market. Of course. You know what I mean?
That's spread out to Pennsylvania a little bit now.
And PA has very good high-end mitzvahs. And as you know, I used to own a DJ company in Pennsylvania. So, you know, I mean, we were kind of in that same realm in PA, you know, and PA kind of takes over that South Jersey market, starting with, you know, like the Cherry Hill area, the Voorhees area. PA DJs are in that area more than us in the central New Jersey area. Right. So, but I would say, you know, as far as clients, you know, listen, I'll never say no to a communion client. I'll never say no to, a Sweet 16 client. We're just not mitzvah DJs. But if somebody comes in and they're like, listen, you know, we want a party for, you know, $19.95 for a bar mitzvah package with all the stuff that I included, they're not the right client for me. There are guys that I would say older guys and,
hey,
you know, sorry. Listen, not older. I would just say guys that are seasoned or your weekend warrior guys or guys that are teachers on during the week, but also are professional DJs. And if you have a second career, that doesn't mean you're not a professional. You know, this doesn't have to be.
There are plenty of people who've done that for 20 years.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, but those guys will take anything because it's just extra cash in their pocket and they don't have a full-time crew like we have, you know? So, we understand that, but you know, talking on a podcast like this or, you know, going back and forth where people listen, we hope that we can educate the market and, make sure that everybody's on the same realm, you know? And, I feel like just myself, I rather educate people than yell and bitch and moan and, you know, put people on blast. You know, I'd rather have them talk to me and say, this is what you can do to better your business, you know? So I'd rather do that. But I would say a client, I would refer them to somebody else and be very nice and say, you're just not in our price range. And I may be expensive for people, you know? I mean, that $3,500 is not my pricing. You know, we start off at an extra $500 at $4,000 for that first package. But and that's our 2018 pricing. So we start at $4,000. But I would say if you're in the range of like $35 and $4,000 for your first package, I think you'd be totally in that, you know, mitzvah market.
Do you put pricing on your website?
It is not currently on there, but
have you done it in the past?
I have.
And what's your because in the industry it's always photographers, everybody always talks about, do you put pricing on it? Do you not? I'll tell you what I do, because I do the invitations and the day of designs and stuff like that.
Of course,
I just asked you the question, but I'll answer it myself first. You've listened to this podcast before. So I have found that I don't put it public. I have an appointment program I use called youcanbook.me, which because I got to the point where I was just emailing people back and forth over a 15-minute difference in terms of time. So now they just go there and they can book it based on my calendar. So when they set up the appointment, they will get an email with pricing, in which case I have two video reviews on that page, as well as screenshots from reviews on Google and Knot and Wedding Wire, which comforts them. And the pricing that I have on there is just like a starting at price, so they can see. It also gives them the ability to then say, no, I thought I was going to pay $300 for invitations. And they can politely cancel the appointment without ever talking to me.
Correct.
So I found that that is my secret sauce in terms of they see the reviews to support maybe my costs. They can see roughly what they're going to spend. And they can cancel the appointment without having to feel the notion like they don't want to call me to cancel it. So they just don't show up. I've probably found out of about 10 appointments, maybe two, maybe three on average out of 10 will cancel after I send them that email. And I just assumed that the price that they saw starting was not going to be where they needed to be. And then it doesn't waste the time of me sitting there waiting for them or them going through it, an appointment with me, then getting pricing. And I waste their time and my time as well. Your turn. Now you go. What did you find when you had pricing? Now that I just gave everybody the secret sauce. Thank you.
Of course. Well, you know, back in the day, I think I was a young guy and just kind of followed exactly what a lot of people did on their websites. So everybody had their packages on their websites. Everybody had their pricing on their websites. And I think the market has changed now. And what I'm saying change is not based on, you know, what we're offering, but as a salesperson, I think you need to actually gain a relationship with your client, and a price can devalue who you are as a company. Because, you know, anybody, you can be a great DJ, but if you can be $5,000, but, you know, if you don't connect with your client, then you're not going to have a successful event. I feel that way, you know, and when I'm selling, you know, I sell based on personality. Everybody has a different personality. I may not be the guy for you. I mean, you know, but my other MC may be the guy for you, or my other DJ may be the guy for you. So they could be that salesperson that would really mesh with them. You know, I actually just recently took an amazing course, about a month ago, 2 months ago, in January. And do you know the name Mitch Taylor?
Midwest? Bald guy?
Midwest, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know the name. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Mitch Taylor. And
is he bald? Bald dude?
No, he's not bald. I think you're thinking of, what's his name? Alan Berg. That's Alan Berg.
Oh, no, I know the Berg all too well. Anyway, so Mitch Taylor, yes.
Mitch Taylor, Midwest guy. He's from Michigan area. So you know he teamed up with his counterpart. Her name is Vicky Muncy, and she basically deals with personality training, and then he deals with the sales training, and they kind of made a.
Vicky also not being a bald guy, I assume.
No, Vicky is not bald.
Okay, just to clarify,
not bald, and she's a woman.
Okay. So, yes.
But you know what? These days, Lorenzo, we don't know who's a man or woman anymore.
I don't judge. I don't judge. Everybody's got their own space.
You know, I can never tell. You know, I mean, listen, if I was single and on those dating sites, I would be very scared these days. You'd never know. You know.
Stay out of the alleyways in Atlantic City, and you'll be okay.
That's good. Well, yes, anybody going to DJ Times this year, stay out of the alleyways or also the alleyways in Vegas if you're going to Mobile Beat.
So. Yes. Okay. So let me save you before this conversation goes to shit. What are you trying to overcome?
Anyways, I'm just going on a ramble. So anyways, I went to this training.
Wait. So now I figured it out. I just got a call I just got a phone call.
Okay.
While I'm recording on Anchor, it said call ended in my Bluetooth. The phone call came through. I didn't touch anything. It disappeared, and you were talking, and I guess it was still recording. So, I didn't hear what the hell you said in the past 22 seconds.
Oh, you didn't.
Well, I kind of did, but I don't know if it recorded. But
okay.
Say it again so I can respond to what the hell you're saying.
Okay, no problem. So anyways, this is what I was saying. I said I went to a really good conference. Good conference,
right.
Learned a lot of things about sales. Mitch Taylor, Vicky Muncy, you know, she, both of them, you know, they, they crossed paths at a conference that they went to, and Vicky kind of streams on, you know, personality training. So if you're a red personality, a green, a blue, a yellow, vice versa. And then Mitch, he's a pro sales guy. He really looks into, you know, that 101 sales and above 101 sales, and kind of breaks it down into some different kinds of ways of researching your client, you know, connecting with your client, researching their personality, getting to know who they are, and really looking in depth. So from that conference, I really, you know, took away a lot of different pieces. And now, you know, and I've always built relationships with my clients. And I really think that building a relationship, but also knowing who your client is before you actually talk to them is huge. So, you know, getting an email and knowing, hey, you know, if they're an AOL email, they may be a little bit, know, like they may have grown up in the 80s or 90s.
Not necessarily. There's a photographer that I know.
Or 2000s, you know.
Well, there's a photographer that I know all too well, and he's probably in his late 30s, and he does decent amount of work, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And his email is on AOL. And I'm just like,
yeah,
I mean, like, I don't care if you have five. I would buy a house from a person who's been a realtor for 3 months before I would buy a house from a realtor who's been there for 20 years and has an AOL or a Yahoo email.
Correct. Yeah. No, and you know, isn't it funny, like, how we judge people's email?
Oh, I'm judging. I am email snob. No, if you're on Yahoo, Gmail is completely acceptable. Of course, it is what AOL was in the 90s. But correct. If you are asking me for a 2018, if you're quoting me 2018 prices and you're using 2001 technology, we're out. I'm done. That's it. I can't deal with it. You will learn, people who are new to the podcast, that the bane of the wedding and event industry is photography. I will never defend you people. And that will probably upset people, but they'll be fine with it. I can't deal with it. So, okay.
Well,
No, they should not be fed. No. I don't want to hear your crying. You're an adult. Bring a power bar. I don't want to hear it. Look, it's a long day, but it's twice a week. And they still only adds up to about 20 hours, which is one third of the regular work week. Bring a power bar. You'll be fine.
I think now in 2018, going into, you know, 19 for next year, yeah. I think a lot of people are very into those the meal prep programs. So, you know, I mean,
look, they have Meals on Wheels. Bring it. Uber delivers now. Grubhub delivers. In between, I don't care. My goal is to one day have like 10 photographers on here and just yell at them all and just supply PowerPoint. I can't.
Is that the biggest complaint?
My biggest complaint is
no. Biggest complaint.
Oh, it is. It is endless conversations that I have seen over the years, hundreds and hundreds of comments and conversations. Those are the two things that I can't deal with at events. One being that, and two, and you might be guilty of it. I don't know, but I won't. I won't back down. Is I will never sit at the event at a table with guests, even at a vendor table. I will sit in the bathroom in a stall and eat my penne vodka before I will sit out there with the family or on any level. Now, I know in the Midwest, it's a little bit, or I shouldn't say that, maybe opposite of the coasts. Maybe it's a little bit more acceptable. And, you know, like, I still won't do it. I will not do it. I've bent down in the booth, the DJ booth, on the floor and ate. That's how I do it. Or I go into the back room or whatever. But, I can't do.
That's uncomfortable. Vendor tables is definitely a no-no, you know. And also, I think, and I've seen this too, buffet standards, you know, let the guests eat before vendors go.
I'll cut a B if I see a vendor on the line before anybody else.
Yeah, man. Like, I've seen that from some photographers, and they're just like relentless. We understand that you're hungry and you've been working, you know, a 20-hour day longer than us DJs, but
those types of photographers are usually guys, and they have what's called the demi tuck, which is the front of their shirt is tucked in, but the back is hanging out. And
I've seen that.
Yeah, and they're all a little bit frumpy sometimes. And yeah, no, I can't. But look, I understand here's the one thing I will say positive about a photographer. Well, the other thing is also when they tell you to shut off the mobile, the phones at gigs, I can't deal with that either. But anyway, they legitimately have the hardest job. And I will say that because you screw up a mix outside of the wedding song or a parent song, you screw up a mix or you screw up a song or you do something, or even if you miss a song from a night, unless it's a major dedication, which you, most people wouldn't, you can get past it. That photographer misses one person's photograph with the long lost aunt or whatever, there's no going back. There's zero going None. Back. And you will potentially ruin a bride's day if somehow you didn't get the brother in the photo. And so there's a lot of stress for a photographer to really know and be on point with that list and make sure that, to the point of where I've seen photographers who have hired a separate photographer just to do family shots. And that's all they're responsible for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's where it's like you fucked that up and it's over.
Yeah. I, you know what, like this is one pet peeve that I have. Okay. And it drives me crazy, drives me nuts. I see it all the time in that cheap ass magazine Celebrations. That's at Wawa.
What'd you say? T-Bag?
What?
What magazine? T-Bag? What magazine?
No, that cheap ass magazine. Oh, called Celebrations.
Oh, all right. You want to take them down too? Okay. We'll go with that. All right.
Lorenzo, if you turn the pages, I mean, is there quality in that?
No, here's the one thing. Now, I've never advertised in the magazine, and it's for those obviously who don't know outside of the basement.
You know, I just have experience, so that's why I can say such a cheap ass magazine, because that's all the calls I've gotten. You know.
Well, let me just give a background. It's basically about an 5x7 style magazine with about 20 pages in there, and they're usually at all the entrances of grocery stores and stuff like that. And it deals with the event industry in New Jersey. They're also at bridal shows. I do know that the cost of entry into that ad for the amount of circulation is pretty cheap. You can back me up on that.
It is pretty cheap.
I think that it's probably, like you said, you're going to get a lot of people who are budget friendly, and that's saying it kindly. If nothing else, I guess it does bring up brand awareness. But I think for a high-end company, I think it probably, if I was a high-end client and I was looking for high-end stuff, and that doesn't have to be high, it can be mid to high-end. Mm-hmm. If I saw somebody in there, I might specifically not choose them based on that.
Yeah, I agree with that, you know. But, you know, I mean, back to what I was saying, you know, about this magazine, is huge pet peeve. I look at every other page of a DJ entertainment company selling photo, video, as well as, you know, an officiant. I mean, can you really be an all-in-one house kind of guy? You know, listen, I know photo and video because I'm in with a photographer at my office that he sells his service and I overhear conversations. I do not sell photo and video with my packages because I know what I'm good at. You know,
right.
And I'm not the photographer on the event. Plus, I don't want to be married to them for the rest of like 6 months while I get everything together for them. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
I'm kind of like a one and done kind of guy, but one and done, but doing great events in the future for their family and friends. So,
yeah, I think it could get tough because like there are companies who do like, you know, they'll do photography, video, and DJ, and unless they have it really defined separately, I think they should have separate companies. Like I know that Mike with Elite, he'd do Elite Entertainment, and then he has Elite Digital Images.
And I think that's good. And you know, I saw something on Facebook that Elite actually posted, or an individual from that company. I think it was Mike saying Elite Entertainment is not Elite Digital Images. So don't mix them up. They are a separate company. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. And the reason I said it was because if you're a DJ company and you do photography and the photography gets screwed up a little bit, your review is going to be reflected, even though your DJ might have been a 5-star, it's still going to be reflected as a 4. That's why you have to have separate entities on all the review pages of the Knot and Wedding Wire and stuff. Otherwise, you know, things happen. I would be weary of that. So I don't know the post that you're alluding to, though.
Yeah. You know what? We're kind of a little all over the place today, but you know, I mean, you've been a father for, you said, 5 years, right?
Yeah.
I've known you for a while. Yeah. So My big thing, and, you know, I think anybody listening, Lorenzo, I think it would be great advice. And, you know, any podcast that you do or any professional that you talk to, I kind of need some advice. All right.
Okay. Okay.
Advice is this.
Vulgarity in front of children is fine. No? Okay. That wasn't when you were asking. No, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No. So, you know, as a new father, I have a 6-month-old at home. It's the best thing that has ever happened to me, I have to say, you know. But, you know, balancing your home life, balancing your work life, balancing your social life, I think is a huge thing, and it's a huge undertaking. And then some, you can get wrapped up into one thing, or you can be in a good balance. And how do you do that for yourself? You know,
I do that very simply.
Okay.
And it's not simple for DJs because your work goes into the weekend.
Yeah.
So it has to change where you have to make time during the week. I get up, I go to work. I stop at 7. I'm with my wife and my kid from 7 till 10 at pretty much every single night, unless I have soccer, or which is only once a week, or unless I have a bridal show. I put my daughter to, I lay down in bed with my daughter and I put her to bed. I've done that for 5 years. We watch cartoons from like 9 to 10. She's a late sleeper. Okay. And at 10 o'clock, by then my wife is basically asleep already, and I work from 10 to 2. I do that Monday through Sunday, in essence.
And Sunday,
I don't work as much, obviously, during the day, or Saturday I go to the office. But for the most part, I stay structured between there because I have the ability to. That means I cut out Xbox and PlayStation and fantasy football and fantasy baseball. I basically watch sports and that's it. So I've structured it that way. The thing that I have to get better at is, instead of going to sleep, like last night I went to bed at 2:45, I need to go to bed structurally. I need to make myself go to bed at 1 and get up at 7:30. My daughter starts kindergarten in September, so that's going to have to happen.
Yeah, of course.
But I try to make it structured more the time frame of what I'm doing, or rather than the actual, like, I don't structure like projects. I structure the time frame of work, and then within there, I do those projects.
Correct. Do you feel that this is a big struggle for a lot of people in our like business, or you know,
anybody who owns a small business,
or anybody
has to balance that at all times. And as a guy, the more money you make, the more flexibility you have. It's just the way it is in a marriage. And that might be old fashioned, but on some level, it is. My wife works corporate, so I have the flexibility to work around her hours. And I also have the flexibility to take my daughter to a doctor's appointment or to do this or to do that. And it's a friend of mine years ago said to me when I was first starting out, he's like, he had a day off and he wanted to go to the movies or something like that. And I said, I couldn't. And he said, you own your own business. Of course you can. And I said, because I own my own business, I can't. So it has to stay within structure. You have to have a partner who understands that even though you don't have a cubicle that you go to, that you do, whether it's, you know, not a physical one, but a cubicle in the sense of structure.
Yeah, I could say that, you know, I was a little all over the place in one time in my life, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, I think as you get older, you need to kind of structure your schedule, your life. You know, when you need to go to the gym, when you need to, you know, run your errands, when you need to go to your bank, when you need to actually make your phone calls to follow up with your clients, you know.
What I'm not structured is what I'm doing in terms of follow up. I use an app that lets me put emails on snooze so that I can do certain tasks that are just copy paste or whatever they may be. But as a designer, the problem is any email I get, which can be maybe sometimes as little as 10 in a day, each one of those emails sometimes is a half hour's worth of work because it requires me opening up programs and editing or doing stuff like that. So that's the balance. There could be a day where I don't open up anything for design programs, but I feel like I got a ton of work done.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, listen, everybody has a different structure and how their schedule is, you know, I mean, I sat in on a conference, Jason Klock, you know, yep. So he has like a total he has a regiment, man, you know,
yes.
like, and he's been doing it for years. So
he is militant about his regiment.
Yeah.
About everything he does, from working out, you know, to me, he gets up at like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. And I'm like, well, to me, the early bird gets the worm never applies, because I can get a worm at 1 a.m. as much as you can get one at 4:30 a.m. Right. However, he's very structured, which is a challenging discipline to do, especially when you are a creative, or someone who has to do creative things, whether it's with music or with Illustrator. Sometimes structure is challenging, but I think it's a good, he has a very good discipline about that, from working out to how he runs his company.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't.
You're probably somewhere in the middle. You're like me. You're not skinny, but you're not chubby. So you're in the middle. So the way you present yourself is probably how you handle your life. He's cut like a rock. And then there are guys who are a little bit more not. And I find that sometimes that discipline plays out into their life.
I agree. I think so. You know, I do think so about
that. We have dad bonds. Dad bond.
Well, you haven't seen me in a while, Lorenzo. We've only talked on phone or.
We've been eating seaweed what are you shopping at Whole Foods every day? Is that what you're telling me?
I hate that store. You hate that? I hate that store.
I've only been to Whole Foods about 6 or 7 times. I don't mind it. I don't have any problems with it. But clearly you do. So
listen, I don't get the orange, the green, the red tagging on that. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I don't even know what the hell that is.
It's ridiculous.
What do you mean tagging?
So on all their products, especially like in their produce, as well as their meats and all that kind of stuff, their whatever it is, their butcher, they basically label all their stuff saying like if this was grass fed. And if it was, you know, slaughtered correctly, or if this was this or that, you know,
I just assume all the shit in there is that way. That's why I go there.
Same here. That's why I can't stand it. So, you know, you want to eat healthy, but then you're getting uberly confused from Whole Foods because you don't know if you're actually doing the right thing now, you know?
Well, you should just do what my approach is. Just go in there and assume. Like, in other words, if I go eat at Chipotle, I think I'm going to be a little bit healthier than if I went to McDonald's. I'm just going to go with that.
That's it.
It's just easier.
That's it. I don't know. I'd rather eat, you know, the dollar ribeyes at the dollar store, you know?
They have dollar ribeyes at dollar store?
Dollar ribeyes at the dollar store. I got to send you that screenshot that I took from driving by one. I was shocked, but. I guess there's an acquired taste for everybody, you know?
Well, you know, I'm okay. I mean,
talking about food stores, you know,
yeah.
what I actually was really shocked about is that something came out on Facebook the other day. And you know, the store Aldi.
Yeah. They've gone all organic.
Gone all organic.
Yep.
Gone all, you know, they process and make their own food. And, I learned that Aldi is actually Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Do they still make you pay 25 cents for the shopping cart?
Yeah, they do that because they want to keep their costs low, you know?
Right. You know who does that? You know, in Costco. Jersey. No. Well, in Jersey, you could go to a Stop and Shop in one part of Jersey and it looked like shit. And then go to another Stop and Shop or another any grocery store, insert any name. And it'd be good. So the one by me, the Stop and Shop, which I didn't go to in the very beginning because the one that I was aware of was real crappy up north. Okay. So anyway, I've gone to Stop and Shop for years now, and they have their own brand of organic everything. So you go into any department, whether it's the cereal or the meat or the vegetable, they have their own thing called Nature's Promise, which is all organic.
Of so course.
They're kind of... pushing that way. Even ShopRite, the ShopRite grocery stores in Jersey, which were really like, you know, like get off my lawn, we kill our cows in the front lawn type attitude people.
Mm-hmm.
They have started to expand their organics. So, yes, Aldi's.
I think it's going to be the new thing. They're popping up everywhere. They're becoming a really huge. Supermarket where, you know, there's a low cost and people, you know, want their bang for their buck, but they also really want
good product. I think they should just change the name, because that the reputation of Aldi is, like, I went in there once or twice before all this happened.
It does, but I mean, it's, I believe it was like two brothers that actually broke up their partnership, and one became Aldi South and then Aldi North, and then Aldi South actually is Trader Joe's, but they just go under that trade name in the U.S. because they can't go under like Aldi South, you know?
Gotcha. So,
but I thought that was very interesting, you know, because people kind of, you know, rag on Aldi because they say it's a very like low income kind of, you know, supermarket, you know, but people praise Trader Joe's, but yeah, Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, two stores that I just really can't stand.
Yeah, I'm not a Trader Joe's person. I've only been there a couple times as well, and I've read too many articles about too many missteps that they've taken from the BS that they portray things to be. But, correct, you know, and that may have happened, and it's unfortunate for them because people like me see stuff like that without having the experience of going there that often, and that ends up happening.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, what did we actually accomplish here today? Just great conversation, huh?
Well, I probably lost any photographers or I'm trying to think of, you probably pissed off 90% of the liberals by saying Whole Foods. So we're down to, I guess, just Trumpsters.
I guess so.
I guess so.
I'm there. I'm there with you. So.
So we'll try to make podcasting great again, I guess. I don't know.
I hear you. So, Lorenzo, it was great talking to you today. I don't mean to cut you off, but I have an appointment in Asbury Park.
Okay. So. I'm the host. You should never embarrass me by telling me that you're ending the podcast. I end the podcast. So, okay, let's start over. All right. Well, look, I'm real busy and I got some stuff to do. So thanks for joining us, Adam. And you want to plug your website or anything like that?
Obviously we're an event group in Marlboro, New Jersey. Our website is www.ajhentertainment.com. Or if you want to do it nice and short and sweet, it's iloveajh.com. So
okay. We did 41, right. We did 42 minutes.
That's pretty record breaking. And you know what? I have to say our new podcast app that we're using, genius.
Are you going to really start using it?
Yeah, definitely start using it. Do you want to plug them, Lorenzo?
Anchor, yes. Yeah. Yes, New Jersey-based, from what I recall, in Hoboken.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Okay, you go do your appointment. I'm very busy.
All right.
Very busy.
You got it. I'll catch up with you soon. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you.
All right, buddy. Bye.
Don't miss a beat. You got it.
Bye.